Miriam Makeba believed that her entire life, career, and every single song she sang were inextricably linked to the plight of South Africans. In her own words, Makeba was born and died with three qualities: hope, determination, and song. She discovered early on that music was magical. It could make sad people happy, and dull people sit up and pay attention. Music stirred deep inside her. She would squirm, her lips would smile, and then her body would move as though she were possessed. Miriam Makeba had an unusual start to life. She was born in Prospect Township near Jeppe in Johannesburg on the 4th of March 1932. 18 days later, the apartheid police threw her and her mother into jail for half a year. Her mom had been brewing traditional beer illegally. Many setbacks hit Miriam Makeba from an early age. She was only 6 when she lost her dad to jaundice or hepatitis. She was forced to live with her grandmother at Riverside outside Pretoria so that her mom could earn some money as a domestic worker in Johannesburg.
We were 21 grandchildren in my grandmother's house, and I was the youngest, a little bit spoiled. Childhood wasn't really that exciting because we were very poor.
But Miriam Makeba discovered her voice and love of music in the church choir.
I always liked singing.
Makeba performed her first solo at the age of 15 in 1947. Britain's King George and his daughter Princess Elizabeth were visiting South Africa. But they never heard her singing because it was pouring with rain and their motorcade just whizzed past her. In 1950, Miriam Makeba joined the Cuban Brothers, which her cousin was leading in Johannesburg. That's also when she married the first of her 5 former husbands, Guli Kube. He allegedly beat her and slept with her sister. The other men in her life were South African Indian ballad singer Shana Pillay, childhood friend and trumpeter Hugh Masekela, civil rights activist Stokely Carmichael of the controversial Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and Bagiot Ba of Guinea, who worked for the Belgian airline. Miriam Makeba's real music break came in 1952. She joined the biggest local jazz group, the Manhattan Brothers. They incorporated American ragtime and doo-wop sounds with African harmonies that defined the black urban 1950s.
They were a group that was very, very popular and very well respected. That's when my little career started.
Miriam Makeba landed a leading role in Elf Herbert's 36-artist African jazz and variety show. They were the first black artist to perform in the Johannesburg City Hall. She also wrote and released her golden oldie hit, Pata Pata, or Touch Touch. It hit the local top 5 and became the first South African record to enter the American Billboard Top 100. Makeba was central to the all-woman group The Skylarks, which Gallo Tone Records had formed. They were real trendsetters. Their harmonisation had never been heard before. But South African show business was rough and rife with armed gangsters.
I remember one day we were singing in Alexander and these people came in. They put their legs on the stage, sitting in front. They had their beer and they had their guns. And I sang a song called Saduva, which was very popular. They liked that song. I remember them making me sing that song 20 times.
In 1957, Miriam Makeba made a brief 3-minute but sparkling appearance as a Shabin singer in the first covert South African docudrama film about Sophiatown. It was called Come Back Africa. The late American maverick filmmaker Lionel Rogerson took the film and Makeba to the Venice Film Festival. There, they won the Critics' Award. But because of Makeba's role in this film, the apartheid government forced her to live in exile. It took the authorities 2 years to give Makeba a passport. Later, she would hold about 10 foreign passports from Tanzania, Guinea, Algeria, Sudan, Mauritania, Ghana, Liberia, Cuba, and France.
Like a ping pong ball down a mountain stream, like paper riding in the breeze.
In 1959, Makeba played the female lead in the first all-African jazz opera and Broadway-inspired South African musical King Kong. It was sold out for 6 months. Miriam Makeba met the American actor and singer Harry Belafonte in London. Belafonte offered to help her in the United States. Her American debut was on the Steve Allen Show. In New York, she performed with jazz legends such as Nina Simone, Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and Miles Davis. She was credited with changing American fashion by sporting a simple, short Afro hairstyle. But even in the United States, the apartheid government was able to break her heart.
In 1960, I couldn't come home to bury my mother, so I still had those wounds.
Miriam Makeba became a regular at the United Nations in New York, but she rarely made her mark there on the 16th of July, 1963.
Not the slightest doubt that these arms will be used against the African women and children.
As a result of Makeba's outspokenness, the apartheid authorities revoked her citizenship and banned her music.
I don't know what I had done to deserve being banned from home. And that has been the most painful thing to me.
Miriam Makeba received the first of her many awards in 1962 from Guinea, where she lived for many years and which she represented diplomatically at the UN. In Africa, Makeba attended the launch of the Organization of African Unity.
I was invited by the Emperor Haile Selassie, and I was able to meet all those men who led their countries to independence.
She sang several countries such as Kenya, the old DRC, Mozambique and Angola to political independence. Miriam Makeba cried non-stop in 1963 when she was diagnosed with cervical cancer and given only 6 months to live.
I had to sign papers that if I die, who will take care of my child? She was 12.
She survived the ordeal by having a hysterectomy and receiving a vase of white lilies every day from the late award-winning American actor Marlon Brando. In 1965, Miriam Makeba became the first African recording artist to win the prestigious Grammy Award with her mentor, Harry Belafonte. They won the Best Folk Recording Award for their album, An Evening with Harry Belafonte and Miriam Makeba. It included her song about the Rivonia trialists, To Those We Love, and her song about their jailers, Beware for Voot. Guinea's late president, Sekou Touré, made Makeba an honorary citizen of his West African country in 1968. Makeba was again devastated in 1985 when she lost her only daughter, Bongi. She consequently started drinking, smoking too much, and putting on weight. But by the end of 1986, she was back on her feet, touring the world with award-winning American musician Paul Simon. Makeba finally returned home from exile on the 10th of June, 1990. She arrived on a French passport and six-day visa. At the O.R. Tambo airport, she just wept at all the people welcoming her back home. One of the first things she did was to visit her mom's grave in Soweto. Again, Makeba cried and sought her mother's forgiveness for not being able to bury her. Miriam Makeba counted many, many people among her international friends and associates. To name but a few, Sidney Poitier, John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Ella Fitzgerald, Maria Callas, Haile Selassie, Kwame Nkrumah, Tina Turner, Nina Simone, Jesse Jackson, Aretha Franklin, Fidel Castro, Joe Sample, Samora and Grasa Michel, Stevie Wonder and James Baldwin. And all Miriam Makeba wants her epitaph to say is, here lies a little old great-grandmother. I'm Angie Kaplianis in Johannesburg.